Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the small New Testament book of Philemon. The small New Testament book of Philemon, which happens to be right before the book of Hebrews, if you're looking for it in the New Testament. If you are looking for it a little bit, if you want to start in the back, the book of Revelation, the book of Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, James, Hebrews, and then the book of Philemon. This is one of the last of Paul's personal epistles, and we've been going through this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. What we've been doing is traveling with the Apostle Paul through his life in chronological order through the Bible. And as we run into a person, we do a character study. And as we come to a book that the Apostle Paul was used by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen, we take time to survey the book and try to explain some of the context that's around it. Right now, the Apostle Paul is in Rome, finally. He's gone through his first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey. Then he was arrested at Jerusalem. He was kept in Jerusalem for about 2 years. Then finally, they transported him to Rome, where he's under house arrest, waiting trial and waiting for some Jewish authorities to come and actually accuse him before the court of Nero the Caesar. During the time he's under house arrest, they allowed him to rent a place. He's got Roman guards outside to make sure he doesn't run away. But they allow all of his friends and family and people who want to visit him to come into his house. And it is during this time of the 2 year period while he's in prison under house arrest that he pens the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and the book of Philemon. And so, if you don't mind, let's take some time and look at the book of Philemon, and we're going to start in verse number 1. The book of Philemon, and starting at verse number 1. Notice, if you don't mind, what the Bible says. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed unto by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. For if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Excuse me. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But wherewithal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I might be given unto you. Therefore salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Philemon? The book of Philemon in verse number 11. Philemon in verse number 11, notice the phrase, profitable, but now profitable. Sorry, unprofitable, but now profitable. And with the Lord's help, we'd like to survey the book of Philemon and talk about from unprofitable to profitable. From unprofitable to profitable as we survey this book of Philemon. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who's worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be served. And as we come up to you today, I'm asking that you would remove distractions, that you would remove things that would draw people away from your word and from your message. And I'm asking that you would do something amazing, that you would fall, that people would fall in love with this book of the Bible. They would fall in love with what is going on here, that they would gain a great understanding and that it would be a help to them. Again, I have no confidence in my own self, my own abilities. So once again, the best I know how, I surrender my thoughts, my desires, my words, that you set all those in order, that you would fill me with your precious spirit, and you get your own work accomplished today through your precious word. I love you, and I'm so thankful that we could thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Philemon with the idea of unprofitable to profitable. As we start off, let's give some context of what's going on. That if you will remember with me that in Paul's third missionary journey, he stopped at the city of Ephesus. And at the city of Ephesus, for a space of 2 years, he taught in a school of one Tyrannus. And it was during this time as he started a Bible institute in a school of Tyrannus that as Paul taught people, people went through all out Asia, which we the Bible calls Asia Minor. We now know as Turkey. And they literally went throughout all of this region and told people about the Lord. It was during this time where Paul was running this Bible Institute that a church started by in the city of Colossae. And so the church was started originally in the house of Philemon. So this is being addressed to the person whose house is being used to start this church. The pastor was Epaphras, but currently during the time of writing, Epaphras is up in visiting Paul in Rome. And right now, Philemon's son, so Philemon has the church in his house, his son Archippus is filling in as the pastor of the church while Epaphras is with Paul in Rome. So again, Philemon, he's tied to the church. You know, it's kind of hard to make sure that you're in church all the time if the house, if the church is in your house. You know, you get to have all of it. Can you imagine what a privilege it is to have a church start in your house? And to have the preacher and to have all these people work and watch all the miracles and watch the blessings happen. And now the pastor is gone and Philemon's own son is being the pastor. He's being the interim pastor. He's taking over things. And God is working in this house. God has truly blessed Philemon in a special way. Now, because of Paul's influence in that church, now Paul didn't start it, but it was because of Paul's teaching that the church was started by Epaphras. It was because of Paul's teaching that Philemon opened up his house. It was because of Paul's influence that the church of Colossae was established, that Paul was sure to that they would listen and that they would heed him. So that's a little bit of the context of where this church is at. Now I want to tell you a little bit of the story of what's going on. Now Philemon was a fairly rich man. Of course, if you have a house big enough to allow the church to come and meet at, it's a pretty good size house. And because of that, he also had servants and slaves. Now, 75% of the Roman Empire were slaves. Most people were slaves. And Philemon, being part of the Roman Empire, also had slaves, a certain slave specifically by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, but there was a day that Onesimus rebelled against his master Philemon. He said, I forget this. I'm tired of this. I don't want to have this anymore. And so what he did is he rebelled against the authority of his life, stole things from his master, and he ran away. Now, this is a big deal because, again, if the Roman Empire, 75% of it is slaves, you do not want a slave revolt. Every time a slave revolt occurred within the Roman Empire, they went and they smashed it. Many of you have heard the history lesson of Spartacus, which was based off of a true slave revolt that occurred. That the Roman Empire were death on any type of slave revolt. So if any slave escaped or ran, he was considered a liability. And the Roman government was quick that if they found a runaway slave, to take care of it. So that way it wouldn't spark any more rebellion. It wouldn't spark anything else. It was constantly monitored and put away, dwelt swiftly and harshly about any runaway slave. So Onesimus, he's now in Asia, in Turkey, and he's in the city of Colossae. He steals from his master. He says, forget this. I need to run. Now I need to go somewhere and hide. So he makes his way all across from Asia to Europe, makes his way to Rome. He says, man, there's a lot of people in Rome. I can easily kind of hide out. It's kind of like someone going to New York City to kind of hide out. There's so many people I could easily hide out. And so he's made his way there. He's starting to live. He's starting to try to survive. Things are a little bit harder than what he expected. And in the midst of this, he hears people starting to talk. Hey, did you hear about this Paul guy? This Paul guy's in a house over there, and he's talking to people. Now, Onesimus, who's been in the house of Philemon, he's been there where the church was started. He goes, you know, I've heard a lot about this Paul. I heard Paul mentioned all the time, and he's here in Rome. Well, that must not be an accident. There's something missing in my life. There's something going on. I got to go see this Paul guy. And so what he does is he goes and visits the Apostle Paul. And when he heard that he was a prisoner, went to see this aged apostle, saw Paul in chains. He's a prisoner. And so Onesimus is going, hey, this guy can relate. He's a prisoner. He's stuck. He has people telling him what to do. That was the type of life that I had. He could understand. I want to go talk to him. And he went there, and in the company of Paul, Onesimus realized that he was a sinner. And because of his sin, he offended a holy, righteous God. And it was under this time here that Onesimus bowed his head and accepted Jesus as his Savior. He got saved. Paul is using him to be a help. And he began to be a great help to Paul. Again, Paul's stuck in this house. So Onesimus goes out and says, Paul, what do you need? Do you need something from the store? I'll go get it. Hey, you need me to go get someone? I'll go do that. And so Onesimus put himself and said, Paul, whatever I can do for you, just let me know. I'll go and help. And so he's become a great help to Paul. In fact, Paul mentions that in this letter here, that, hey, he's been a great help. He's helped me. He's been a great blessing in the ministry. He's been a great thing. But somewhere along the line, Onesimus finally broke down and told Paul what happened. He says, Paul, I need to tell you something. You know Philemon? Oh, yeah, I know Philemon. That was my master. I was a slave. And I ran away and I stole some things. And God's been convicting me lately that I need to make things right. And I don't know how. I'm afraid if I go back that they're going to kill me because I'm a runaway. I'm afraid of something. I don't know how he's going to react. Paul, can you do something for me? I feel like God is telling me I need to get things right because I'm not right with my authority. I need to get this fixed. Lord, what do I do? Paul says, you know, I can help you there. He says, let me write a letter. Now, God is using this as an occasion to actually pen a scripture book. But this is what's happening is that Paul is writing a letter to his friend Philemon and saying, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. And I'm requesting that there's some changes in his life. And I want you to receive him once again. And he tells him. So this is the story. This is what's going on. That Onesimus was a runaway slave, found himself into Rome. And isn't it just like God? It just so happened that Paul was there at the same time. And it just so happened Onesimus said, I need to hear someone that I know, that I've heard about. I want to go see this Paul guy for myself. And he got saved. And he started to be a great help to Paul. And then he finally said, I need to go make things right with my master. And so Onesimus has the privilege of carrying this letter, a pardon, if you wouldn't mind, from the Apostle Paul, going back to his master and saying, things are different now. Something happened to me. And so if you don't mind, as we hit a little bit about the story, the next thing I want to do is I want to talk about the mediator. The mediator. Now, Paul writes this letter to help there be reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. Now, I want you to think about this, that Onesimus was a runaway slave. His master did nothing wrong, but he rebelled against his master. He said, I don't want to hear what my master has. I don't want to be told what to do anymore. And so he stole from his master. He abandoned his master. He broke his master's trust and he took off and said, stay away from me. I don't want you anymore. Now's a time that they need reconciliation. Those two parties need to come together and need to come back to an agreement. And what Paul's done is he stepped into the role of a mediator, which is someone who goes in between two parties and tries to solve the things that's between them and bring them together in what is called reconciliation. So that's what Paul is doing, and that's what this letter is. And so if you don't mind, let's examine this letter. Now, he starts off this letter by greeting Philemon and praying for Philemon and saying, this is how we've been praying for you. Then he gets to the meat of the letter. Notice with me as we pick it up in verse number 9. Verse number 9. So Paul changes. He greets Philemon, says he's praying for him. Now he says, let's talk about business. Verse number 9. He says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee. In fact, let's hit verse number 8. Wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So what Paul starts off is he's talking about Philemon. He says, Philemon, I've got a request from you. Now, I can easily say that I am Paul the apostle and I have authority of God and I could order you to do this. But he said, I'd rather not. I'd rather you make a choice. Now, I'm going to make a request of you, and I know you're going to do what's right. I'm giving the choice up to you. But for love's sake, he says, I'm going to give you a choice to do this request. For love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and also now the prisoner of Jesus Christ. So what is he going to beg? He says, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, which I've begotten in my bonds. So he says, what I want you to do is I want you to take back Onesimus, who, by the way, he's accepted Jesus as a savior. This is my own son. I led him to the Lord. He's precious to me. I want you to accept him back. I don't want you to kill him. I don't want you to do any harm to him. I want you to accept him back. Verse number 11, he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and me. Now, he starts off by saying, I'm going to give you a request, not a command, because I know you're going to do the right thing. I'm going to give you a request. I want you to take back Onesimus, who before was unprofitable. You know, he did you harm. There was a time Onesimus rebelled and stuck his fist and said, I don't care what you say. I'm doing my own thing. There was a time Onesimus stole from you. There was a time Onesimus ran away from you. One time he was unprofitable to you. By the way, that's pretty unprofitable if someone steals from you. It's pretty unprofitable if someone under your authority rebels, you know, not like having an employee that says, I don't care what you say, I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. That's pretty unprofitable. So Onesimus, there was a time he was unprofitable. You know, we all have liabilities and assets. The deal in our life is that we try to get our bad qualities to be less than our good qualities, right? Well, when we're unprofitable, that means our liabilities are higher than our assets. And that's where Onesimus was. By the way, that was where we were at with the Lord one time, that our liabilities outweighed our assets. But there was a time that Onesimus was unprofitable, but now he's saved. Now he's different. He can now be profitable once again. Paul says, not only to you, Philemon, but to me, he's profitable. He's good for a lot of people now. Notice as he goes on, for whom I've sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, my own bowels, whom I retained with me, that in thy stead he might be ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul says, hey, I want you to accept him. Now, I'm sending him away. He's been a great help to me at Rome, but it's right to send him back. Notice verse 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Paul says, hey, when I found out that it was that Onesimus was from you, I did not want to presume or go against your authority. You are his authority, not me. So he needs to get things right with you. Now, if you allow him to come back and be a blessing, that's fine. But I'm not going to do so without your blessing. I'm not going to do so without your authority. Paul says, I'm not going to work outside of biblical authority. That I have to go through the proper authority and make sure that the authority does things right. So I'm not going to do anything. He needs to go back to you. He needs to get things right. And then whatever you allow him to do, if you allow him to come back to me, that's fine. If you have him do something else, that's fine. But you're the authority in this case. Notice as it goes on, verse 15. For perhaps he had departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. Verse 16. Now not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Here he talks about that I'm sending back Onesimus, but it's not the same Onesimus he was before. You see, he's no longer a servant. He's no longer a slave. He's a brother in Christ. He says, guess what? Onesimus got saved and he's co-heirs with Jesus and so are you. He says, you're now a brother. He's not a slave. Just a slave, he's your brother in Christ. And I want you to go back and I want you to receive him as a brother in Christ, not just a slave. Notice verse 17. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. You see, there's a change in relationship. There's no longer a servant master. There's still that. But there's more than that. They are now have the same heavenly Father. There is a change in relationship. There's a change in that life. There is something different within that relationship. Notice verse 18. If he had wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. That is a powerful statement. You know what Paul said? He says, Philemon, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. And I know that he stole. I know he did you harm. I don't want you to make him pay. Whatever he owes you, you put it in my account and I'll pay it. That's powerful, isn't it? I know that he had to steal quite a bit in order to make his way from Turkey all the way up to Rome so that way he could live and escape and get through all the stuff. He says, whatever he took, whatever damage he did, you don't charge it to Onesimus, you put it on my account. I'll take care of it. I'll make sure you put it in my account. Then he follows up verse 9. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He goes back and reminds him, hey, now you owe me too. You wouldn't have known Christ without me. You wouldn't have known all this other stuff. He says, you owe me. He says, but I'm reminding you that there's something different about him now. And I want you to take him back. Notice in verse number 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. How having confidence in thine obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. Paul says, hey, I know I've given you this request, but I have every confidence that you're going to take this. I have every confidence that you're going to do what I say. In fact, more than what I say, because you have a desire to be right. You have a desire to be righteous. I have no problems with that. So this is the letter that's sent up that we had a runaway slave who got saved. Paul is sending him back to his authority and say, you go get things right. Paul is acting as a mediator that this Onesimus had offended his master in so many ways. But he's sending him back and says, by the way, put it on my account. Now, this is what happened. Let me take it a little bit further and show you now the picture. Let me show you the picture. You know what the picture is? The picture is that there was a time that we wronged God. There was a time that we put our hand in God's face and said, you don't tell me what to do. I'm doing my own thing. There was a time that we offended God. There was a time that we stole from God. There was a time we rebelled against him. There was a time we've hurt him really bad. There was a time we were unprofitable. There was no good thing in us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God commendeth his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when Christ died for us, it didn't mean that there was anything good in us. God didn't say, hey, you know what? That person is a great person. I'm going to save them. He looked at all of us. We were all unprofitable. We were all good for nothing. There was no good thing in us. There was none righteous, no, not one. There was none that seeketh God. We were unprofitable. You know what? We were also under the penalty of death. For the wages of sin is death. Onesimus. Could you imagine he's running across all of Asia and Europe with a death sentence? If he was caught by the Roman soldiers, he would be put to death. He was under a death penalty. He was just trying to avoid it. We, because we rebelled against God, we deserve death. We deserve hell. That was the position we were. We were unprofitable to God. Because of our sins, we deserve death. But the good thing is that we had a mediator, Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is that man, Christ Jesus. That Jesus was our mediator. What he did is he went between and he made peace between us and the Master. And he stepped between and he gave us a changed relationship with the Master. You know, before we were just God's creation and we were subject to obey him, but we rebelled. But now, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he's now our heavenly Father. We're no longer servants, we're friends. We're no longer slaves, we're his children. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing that we have a changed relationship? And now, you know what the mediator did? The mediator went to God and said, God, I want you to receive them just like you would receive myself. You know what happened is that on our account, Jesus' record was placed on our account. And God receives us and looks at us just like he sees his son. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? That the mediator said, God, I want you to receive them just like you would myself. Take it on my account. And not only that, Jesus placed all of our sins and everything we owed God and placed it on his account. That Jesus, when he died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. Not just sin as a whole. Every individual sin, Jesus paid for. He paid it all. It was put on Jesus' account. Jesus paid all that we owed God, every little bit. Oh, isn't that a wonderful Savior? And now, because of what Jesus did, there can be reconciliation between us and God. That we can go to God and we can have fellowship. We can go to God and have this changed relationship. We can go to God and spend time. You know what has happened? We have moved from being unprofitable to profitable. We came to the place where we could do nothing to please God, to a place that we can serve God and worship God and be a blessing and do his work. What a wonderful thing that God has done for us. You know, one of the best evidences that Christianity works is the evidence of a changed life. That's what happened to Onesimus. He had a changed life. There was something different about him. And now he is profitable. Something for us that if we say that we're saved, that we've come to the place where we realize we were a sinner. And because of our sin that we've offended a holy, righteous God. But Jesus was our only hope. Then we bowed our head and accepted Christ as our Savior. That there should be a change in us. That's the best evidence that what we say salvation works, that the Bible works, is the evidence of a changed life. For Onesimus, there was evidence that his life was changed. And that was proof that there's something that happened to him. Oh, isn't that a wonderful picture? Now, Paul is dealing with a real historical thing. This was an event that actually happened. This wasn't a story that he wrote down and said, you know, it's kind of like a good fairy tale. This actually happened. You know what's interesting, just as a historical note, gee whiz? Is that later on, when Ignatius, the pastor of Antioch, was getting ready to be martyred. Some of you are familiar with a picture of him inside of the Colosseum with the lions circling around him, ready to die. Ignatius, before he was martyred, he wrote a letter speaking about the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And the pastor's name was Onesimus. You know, he came from a slave, a runaway slave. And later on, God used him to be the pastor of one of the most important churches. Think about how important the church of Ephesus was. By the way, that's where Paul started the church and ran a Bible institute that reached all of Asia. Not only was Paul the pastor there, Timothy was the pastor there. Not only was Paul and Timothy pastor there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a member there. Not only that, John, the beloved apostle, was the pastor there. And then pastor number four would be Onesimus. Hey, after you've had Paul and Timothy and John, you'd be looking for a good pastor. Doesn't that speak a lot about the character of Onesimus and what God has done for him? He has truly went from unprofitable to profitable, that God had him to be the pastor of one of the most important churches of that day. What an amazing thing that God did a work. He did an amazing work. By the way, God wants to do that amazing work in you. Has there been a time in your life where you realized you were unprofitable to God? That you realized you rebelled against God, you stole, you hurt, you offended God? And then you came to the place where you realized that because of that, you're under the sentence of death. You deserved hell. You deserve the wrath of God. That's bad news. But the good news is that God loved you so much, He didn't want to see you perish, that He sent Jesus to come and die for you. And that if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, guess what? He will change your life. And whereas before you were unprofitable to God, you're now profitable to God. God wants to use you. You're no longer just a stranger. You're no longer of a different family. You're one of His children. Oh, isn't that just a wonderful picture to think about? You're one of His children if you've accepted Jesus as a Savior. And now He wants to make you profitable. He wants to do things in your life to be a help to Him and what God wants to get accomplished in this world. That He wants to do that in every single one of our life to make us from unprofitable to profitable. So as we come up here, let me just ask you a couple questions. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd be going to heaven? Let me tell you that you can know. And God wants you to know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to guess or think or hope. He wants you to know and know for sure. If you don't know for sure, let me invite you that in just a moment we're going to have an invitation. And during the invitation, we invite you to come. And I'd be glad to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know without a doubt that you're going to heaven to get it settled. Maybe there's some of you who say, you know, I have a bad time looking at myself. I think that I'm worthless. No one likes me. I can't do anything for the Lord. Let me tell you that there's no good thing in you. You say, that's not what I was looking for. But the only good thing in you is Jesus Christ. And Jesus living in you, He wants to turn you from unprofitable to profitable. You know what the wonderful thing about God is? That He wants to change you into something usable. Maybe you're here today and say, I just don't feel like I'm profitable to God. I don't feel like I can have anything to offer God. Well, let me tell you, you're at a great spot. What I'll ask you to do in just a moment is at the invitation to come up and say, God, can you make me profitable to you? Will you guide me? Will you direct me? Will you show me? I want to be profitable to you. Isn't that a wonderful Savior that He could take any one of you? You may think that you're the biggest loser ever to exist, but God wants to use you. God delights in taking things that are unusable and turn them into mighty things in His hands. That it doesn't matter who you are, how young or how old you are, God wants to make you profitable. Even you, He wants to make profitable. What a great Savior. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.